Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Bapakama Daf Lamed Hey. We actually got up to Lamed Daled and Beis towards the bottom, but perhaps for clarity's sake, let's backtrack to the beginning of the Mishnah, which is around 15 lines off the bottom, and that will take us into today's Daf Bezus Hashem. Says the Mishnah, Yesh Chayov Al Maaseh Shorer. At times, a person is liable, is responsible for what his animal does, upatar al masa atzmai, but if he himself will do that very same act, he'll be pater. Interesting. Or the other way around, pater al masa shayri, v'chayv al masa atzmai. He's responsible for doing a certain thing, but if his ox will do a similar thing, he'll be pater. Ketzad, let's have some examples of each category. Shayri shabi ish patu. If his animal embarrassed somebody, there's no chiyuv to pay for embarrassment in that case. Who should be ish chayav? But he himself, if a person embarrasses, he has to pay boishes. Another example, shayrei shesimei es ein avdei. Suppose his animal blinded. The owner's eved knani, vipil eshinoi, or he knocked out his tooth. Potter. The eved doesn't go free, because it was my animal that did it, not me. But he himself injures the Eved Kanani in this fashion, he's chayev. Now we have two examples of the reverse, that the shor is chayev, he is responsible for the shor, but if he himself does the same thing, he's potter. Suppose one's animal injures the owner's father or mother, he has to pay compensation. But he himself, if he himself injures his father and mother, there's no chiv to pay because there's a chiv misa, and we know kimlein b'derabimine, you get the most severe punishment when there's misa, there's no financial responsibility. Another example, if you're sure ignited your neighbor's granary on Shabbos, you have to pay for that financial loss. But if he himself, a person does the same thing. It's potter. You know why? Because lighting a fire on Shabbos is a melacha. He's liable to capital punishment. And we know that when there is chiyuv misa, there's no chiyuv to pay moment. Tani Rabbi Avo kamed Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Avo presented the following price to Rabbi Yechanan. Kolam akalkulam turin on Shabbos. In order to be liable for a melacha, it has to be a constructive melacha, something that has benefit. Malachas machsheva, something constructive, something that builds, that creates, like the malachas in the Mishkan, right? So if one is mekalkel, he simply destroys, he's engaged in a destructive act, call him mekalkel, there's no chiv malacha there, chutz mechayv lumaver, except for the following two. Injuring somebody? How do we know? Because the fact is that the Torah has to go and tell us that you can do bris milah on Shabbos. Why would I think you can't? Oh, apparently injuring is asr on Shabbos. It's a malach. Umaver, likewise burning. And Rashi brings, because the fact that the Torah doesn't allow the bezin to apply burning strafa to a person who's deserving of that in bezin, you can't do that on Shabbos, apparently, because burning is a malach. So these are two exceptions to the rule, even though they're essentially destructive acts. Amar Leis, Rabbi Yechanan didn't really accept this exception. He said, "Put go out, Tony Labor, go teach it outside the Beis Medrash." Chayv lamaver, to make these as exceptions, Eina Mishnah. That's an unreliable quote. Vintin Tzalema Mishnah, if you'll insist that it is a reliable halacha, only under certain circumstances where they contain an element of positivity, which sort of reframes it in a positive sense. Chayv, why would one be chayv for injuring, for hurting? B'tzarech lekalboy. Although he's injuring, which is intentionally a destructive act, but there's a positive purpose. He needs the blood to feed his dog. Or in the case of maver, when he ignites, when he makes a fire, but sarach la'efray, because he needs the ashes. So it isn't really purely destructive. Rashi calls it mekalkel, it's destroying, almanas la'sak, in order to rectify, to bring benefit. So, kuntar b'yechnan, straightforward, chayv la'maver is not chayv on Shabbos, unless there's a positive element to it. Tanan. Now let's go back to our Mishnah and try to prove from there. If his animal lights up the Gadish on Shabbos, he has to pay for it. But he himself, or who? The owner himself who does the same. You know why? because he has chiyuv misa for making a fire. Now, uktani hu dumi d'sharei. The Mishnah sort of matches them up. The act that the person is doing is similar to the act that the sharei is doing, right? They're sort of on the same plane, and that's why we have that. We draw that parallel. So let's assume they're pretty much on the same track. The masa is a similar masa with similar elements, right? So ma shoyre deloike boyle. Let's assume the animal, you know, when he lights a fire, he doesn't need anything from the fire. He has no positive agenda. He's just actually destroying. Afu namid loike boyle. So let's assume, likewise, when the Mishnah is describing a man engaged in an act of similar nature, it is of similar nature. Loike boyle. He doesn't need the ashes. He's just trying to destroy and burn things. And what does the Mishnah say? Does he have to pay? No. Ktani Potter. You know why? He's Chayav Misa. Apparently it's a Malacha on Shabbos. Ktani Potter. So it's a Kasha on Rabbi Yechon, who says simply engaging in destructive burning is not a Malacha. Well, no. Loi. Actually not, says the Gemara. Instead of comparing the person to the animal, who certainly has no agenda, let's compare the animal to the person who has an agenda. Just as the person can very well have an agenda, positive benefit out of the fire, likewise the shur is burning down the gadash, it's also for something constructive. And that explains why the person making the fire is pata from mamin, because he's chayiv misa. Now, how can you suggest that a shur has some sort of plan and agenda here? How do you have something positive from an animal burning? Omar le Rav Avya, Hachab my skin was speaking Mishar Pikech. He's a wise bull. She also le Neshicha Begavay. He suddenly discovered he has a bite, some sort of itchy itch on his back. Vekaboy le Meklaya, and he's trying to burn, you know, the granary down, simply to get the ashes, which he thinks will soothe his itch. Viganda bekutma to, you know, roll in the ashes. So how do we know that in fact the shur had this in mind? You're suggesting, you're theorizing. How do you know in practice that this is what he had in mind, which sort of turns the whole thing into constructive act, right? Which addresses our, you know, kasha. Dilabasa little kalye, because we see after the shur burnt it down, kumaganda bekutma, he's rolling the ashes. Umigakai gamna, is it fathomable that a shur has an agenda, really? And yeah, Dahu Taira, Dava Be Rav Papa, there was a shur living in the house of Rav Papa. A smart shur, Dava Kaivan Le Chinche, he had some sort of toothache. Ail, he came in, a paschal, and his eyes, he uncovered the beer, Shasi Shichron, he drank the beer, Itzi, and he healed him. So apparently we have animals who have, you know, very strong, you know, survival instincts. Okay, so bottom line is, we thought we had a kashar b'yechon, because the Mishnah indicates that a person who burns on Shabbos is chayiv. He's just destroying. No, we're speaking about something beneficial, which he's engaged in. He, the owner, likewise in the case of the animal, it was a mesakin. It was something positive to be coming out of this fire. Amr Rabbon Kamed Rav Papa. So Rabbon asked Rav Papa, "Mi matzis amrus shoyru dumi today? How can you suggest that, you know, we compare the animal to the person, right? And just as the person has some positive, you know, purpose, likewise the animal. Because let's go on to the next halach. V'oktanit Mishnah says, Shoyroi Shabiyish Potter. Vu Shabiyish Chayef, right? So in the first case, so the animal embarrasses somebody, there's no payment. If he embarrasses, there is payment. Now, if we compare the animal to the person, Shoyroi Dumi Today, so we all know that only purposeful, intentional embarrassment generates Chiyuv Boishas, right? You know, payment for boishes. So if we want to sort of compare the animal's lack of payment by boishes to the person's yes payment, apparently they're engaged in an act of similar nature, right? Shoyroi d'day. And when a person pays for boishes, it was because he embarrassed intentionally. So a shoyr is patur on boishes when he embarrassed intentionally. Has an animal Niskaven Lebaya Shecha Mishkachaslo. How do you have an animal intentionally embarrassing people? Well, Kagunshin Niskaven Lehazik. You don't necessarily have to have intent for embarrassment, as long as he intended on harming and destroying. That's enough. It was an intentional the fact that it generated embarrassment, which isn't necessarily something the animal had in mind, that's also okay. That's still called a mazid with respect to boishes. Though Amar, as we learned back on Afchav Zayin, that degree of intent is sufficient to trigger chiyuv boishes by a person, right? Niskaven lahazik, af bishlo niskaven lebayish. If he intended on hurting someone, jumping on somebody, even though he didn't really want to embarrass him, that's enough to generate chiyuv boishes. So that's the contrast in the Mishnah. An intentional act, which by default, circumstantially, generated boishes. So by a person you pay, by an animal you put. So bottom line, we answer the kasha. Why is burning something down on Shabbos chayav misa? Because there was an element of positivity to it. And this is in accordance with Rabbi Yechanan, that there are no exceptions to the rule. Everything on Shabbos has to have an element of misake to be chayav on Shabbos. Rabbi Amar, Rabbi comes and answers the kasha a bit differently. No, in the Mishnah he's burning for the sake of burning. But he's not, there's no misake involved, there's no element of benefit. So why is there a chiyuv misa? Rav Amar Mastisin b'shoigeg. What happened was he burnt it down b'shoigeg, not realizing that it's a malacha, that it's Shabbos. And even though this act does not really carry the only elements which would justify chiyuv misa, but still, since an act of burning something on Shabbos can theoretically, in theory, if it was done with all the contain all those all the criteria which generate chiyuv misa, such as mezid, such as misakin, it would be potter from payment, because when you get misa, you're potter from payment. Likewise, even if it was done b'shoyeg without any intent, you're potter from tashlumin. Okay, the Tanu Bechizkiya, as we learned in Bechizkiya, the Tanu Bechizkiya, maki odom, maki behemo. So the pasuk enwraps hitting a person to hitting an animal. So we compare the two. Ma make behemah, just as when a person strikes at an animal, he kills an animal. It doesn't matter. The circumstances don't matter at all. Because when a person is engaged in an act of destruction, he's chayv regardless, whether it's a shoygig, ben shoygig, ben mezid, ben miskaven, ben shayim miskaven, whether he had a mind or not, ben derech ridel, derech aleh, whether he struck the animal with a downward swoop or an upward swoop. In all these, we say there's no difference to put your mom to exempt him. El chayv mom, in all situations he has to pay. Period. Af maka adam. Likewise, when a person kills another person, an act which theoretically can generate chiyuv misa if done with the in the proper circumstance. So we don't differentiate. We still don't differentiate between whether it's b'shoigig where technically there's no chiyuv misa, lemezid where there is chiyuv misa, b'meskavim she'em meskavim b'nerachim derachali where they killed him this way or that way. L'chayv imam, we don't make any exception with respect to generating and triggering a chiyuv of payment. There's no payment when you kill a person. Elul patra mamad, there's no chiyuv because in theory this act can generate chiyuv misa if he killed him intentionally, b'mezin. So Tanu Bechizkiya learned that this act is now mufka, it's totally free of any monetary payment. So Rav is coming to answer the kasha from a different angle. Here Rabbi Yechon says that burning something down on Shabbos does not generate chiv misa. The mission seems to indicate otherwise. Well, we said, even Rabbi Yechon agrees if there is a positive element. He wants the of afer, he wants the ashes. That's called a positive act and is a melacha and chayiv misa. Comes Rav and says, look, that being the case, now any act of burning on Shabbos is something that will never generate and trigger a chiyuv mamon, because at least in some cases there is a chiyuv misa for doing this very act, and therefore this act has now been sterilized from chiyuv mamon, so to speak. How could you say that? How could you say that Mishnah speaking that he did unintentionally? Mishnah clearly says he gets chiyuv misa, which only happens by mezid. Mishnah means like this, as we explained, given to be mezid nidu b'nafshu, since this very same act, if it was done under different circumstances, it was done by mezid, he would be chayiv misa. For instance, he would go into kaboy la'afra if he would have use for the ashes. Hashta b'shogeg potter. Likewise, if he didn't under any circumstance, even b'shogeg, he was without any kavana for the ashes, he would be potter for a mamin as well. Kedivah's mission. Shor shay roedef achar shor achalo v'huzak. So Reuben's bull is chasing Shimon's bull, and Shimon's shor is harmed. Zoimer shor chehizik. So Shimon says, "Look, your animal hurt my animal." Vizoimer lo, nobody talking about ki elabasela loke. He tripped on the rock. It's not my animal who hurt your animal, maybe indirectly, but actually Rashi says mischache chayev basela v'loke. He was scraping himself on the stone, and he hurt himself that way. So there's a debate raging between Reuben and Shimon as to who's responsible for the animal's injury. What's the halacha? Does he have to pay? No. Hamayitzi mechaveir alvarai, you want to extract money from somebody, you have to prove your case. So this is case one of the Mishnah. Next case. Hayishnaim roitvim achar echad. Now we have three people involved, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. So Reuben and Shimon's ox are chasing. Reuben's ox and Shimon's ox are chasing Levi's ox, who is now attacked by one of these oxen, but we don't know who. Reuben says, well, it was yours. Shimon responds, what do you mean it was yours? Who has to pay? Shneim turn, they're both exempt, because unless you prove your case, you can't obligate me. But if both bulls were owned by the same person, then either way he has to pay, Shneim chayav, and they have to pay. Now, here comes another case of a moitzi mechvel of a raya. Echad godlo vechad katan. So now, Reuben has two animals chasing Shimon's animal, but Reuben has two animals, each one of different size. A big one who is more valuable, and a small one who is less valuable. And we know that by Yeshur Tam, you pay migufay, right? The payment cannot exceed, right? It's capped by the value of the attacker. So now, it was a huge, you know, loss of, you know, a value on account of the victim. So, how much is the victim entitled to? It depends which animal struck him, right? So, in accordance with the size and value of the attacker, his ability to draw payment will increase, right? So, that's the machlekes. Echad gadol echad katan. We have two animals, one big, one small. Hanizik oimer, the victim says, what do you mean the gadol hizik? The big one did it. Vamazik oimer, the perpetrator says, no lie, kiel katan hizik was my small little one that did it. You're only entitled to, you know, or another example, similar case, echad tam v'echad mu'ad. This animal is being chased by two animals, one is a tam, one is a mu'ad. Hanizik oimer mu'ad hizik. Nizik says, well, the mu'ad did it, pay me 100%. Hamazik oimer, the mazik says, loy, loy, ki ella tam hizik, it was only a tam, 50%. Hamaitzim echal v'ray, you have to prove your case. Okay, now the third case in the Mishnah, where we have achumaitzim echal v'ray, hoyan izokin shnayim, echad godlo v'echad kot. So Reuben had two animals chasing Shimon's two animals. Now on the Nizik side, there were two animals, one big, one small. So obviously the bigger one is going to suffer more loss than the small one. V'amazik in shnayim, and on the attacker's side, we also have two animals, echad gadol v'echad katan, one big, one small. So now, hanizik oimer, and we know that both animals attacked the other two animals. The question is, which one attacked which one? Hanizik oimer, Shimon says, Godel hizik is a godel. So it's very convenient for him to say, look, the big one hit the big one, so I can get a larger payout from your big one. The katan is a katan, the small hit the small one, which you know will be able to address the smaller payout of the injury incurred by the smaller animal. Vamazik oimer, and the mazik says just the opposite. Loiki, no, actually, ela katan, my small one, which has very little value, very little to take from, he injured as a godel, the big one. So this way he'll get away with less payout. The gadol is a katan. Yeah, my big one hit the small one. Okay, so at most I'll pay what, you know, whatever I did for the small. But in any case, I'll end up gaining. Or in a similar case with the tam and the mu'ad. Echad tam v'echad mu'ad. So he was being chased. One tam, one mu'ad was chasing the other animals. One was a big one, one was a small one. They both got hurt. Hanizik oimer, Shimon says, mu'ad, the mu'ad who's liable to 100% payment, he injured the big one. Give me a full payment. Yeah, my small was injured by the tam. Okay, so at least I'll only lose a little bit. Reuben says, no, likey, just the opposite. Elo tam hit esakotl. I pay very little for that. Umud, yeah, so he hit esakotl. And ultimately, I'll end up giving less than you expect. Once again, Shimon has to prove his case. So we have three cases in the Mishnah, all pointing in the same direction, that when we have some sort of difference of opinion, which you can't really substantiate, you can't prove, you say, Hamoitzi mechaveir olvaray. But there's machlaikas actually. Amr abchir bar abba zoysa meres, we learn from here, chalukim olav chaveirav al sumchus. Sumchus's colleagues, the rabbana disagreed with him. Because he holds, whenever we have this type of uncertainty, we say, the Amr mamayna mutl besafik chalkim, when there is money in a state of uncertainty, we just split it. The Mishnah clearly indicates otherwise. You can't collect unless you prove your case. The fact that you're highlighting this point does not mean to say that Omar Sumchus afilu bari bari Sumchus maintains that you do yachlik even when both sides are certain, are positive in their arguments, which actually is the case of the Mishnah, which is a big chiddush. So even though I'm yelling and screaming, no, I'm not, I don't know what you... We take the money, we split it, because Bezdin ultimately has a suffix. Yeah, is that true? Amalei says, yep, right on. In Amar Sumchus afilu bari bari, even when Reuben is yelling one thing, and Shimon is disagreeing vehemently, disagreeing with certainty, with positivity, he knows. We take the money and we split it. Now, bari bari. How do you even know to suggest that our Mishnah is speaking about two litigants who are absolute and positive and certain in their arguments? Which pretty much triggered your whole, you know, inference here. How do you know that? Tiktani, because look at the Mishnah. He says, no, it was yours. And he said, no, it wasn't. Loiki is an absolute denial. Bari you bari? Okay. Maskula Papa. So Papa has a kasha. Midresha bari bari. So you've proven that the first case, first of three cases in the Mishnah, speaking about bari against the bari. Fine. So let's assume that the entire Mishnah is pretty much, you know, on the same thread, right? Sefer Nari. So the next case in the Mishnah as well, speaking bari or bari, that both sides are positive and certain in their arguments. Emo Sefer, let's take a closer look then. We have a case of Hoya Echad Godlov Echad Katan. Reuben had two attackers. Right? Two potential attackers. Two animals chasing the other one. One was a Godlov, one was a Katan. And the Shimon's animal was attacked by, we don't know which one. Now, Nizik, Omer, Shimon says, Godel Hizik. It was the big one that caused the damage. And I'm going to get a, you know, I'm going to have more to draw from, right? I have the Godel here to take from. Mazik, Omer, and Reuben says, no, like, you know, actually, Elokotin Hizik was a small one that did the damage. Or in the case of the Tam and the Mord, right? Same idea, Echatam Echat Mord. Nizik says, Nizik, Omer, Mord Hizik. And Mazik disagrees. Mazik, Omer, like, Elokotin Hizik. Ha-Maitzim Chaveru, Elavarai. You have to prove your case in order to collect. Okay, now holy maisi rayo. Now suppose he can't prove his case. He has no idea. He has no surveillance cameras. He can't figure out who did what. So what happens? Shakel kadamer mazik. So at least he'll get what the mazik is acknowledging. Shimon wants more. He wants to get full payout. He claims it was the mord that did it, but the mazik denies. He says, no, it was the tam. I'm only giving 50%. Okay, he can't prove his case. He gets at least 50%, which is problematic. Because when Shimon claimed that the Muad did it, you know what he's doing? He's pretty much agreeing, he's acknowledging, he's conceding that it wasn't the Tam. He's like being Meichel on that. So now why does Reuven have to pay him for the Tam? Neimot to have a Tiyufta. Apparently it's going to be a refutation, Akasha, on an Amira, on a Shita, who says that he's no longer entitled to anything once he gives up that claim. The Rabba Bar Nosson, the Omar, who says, Tana Echitim. Reuben tells Shimon, look, where's my wheat that you had for me? And Shimon says, look, you never deposited wheat. You have barley, you want it? Potter, he doesn't have to give the barley, because when Reuben asked for wheat, he acknowledged that there's no barley. So in our case, when there's a Bari who says, it was the Muad that injured my animal, not the Tam. And the other fellow says, no, it was the Tam. Why does he have to pay as though it was the Tam? Shimon already gave up that claim. If in fact there's Bari a Bari, these fellows are actually, you know, coming with positive, certain, you know, positive claims. Ela b'Bari v'Shema. So apparently we can't be speaking where both sides are arguing with certainty. Must be that one side is Bari, one side is Shema, which will sort of address our concern. You know how? The Ka'amar Bari Man. So this is going to actually, yeah, it's going to answer the kasha. Why? The Ka'amar Bari Man. Let's first figure out who says, who's the Bari, who's the Shema. The Ka'amar Shemaman, who's the Bari and who's the Shema? Who's speaking with, you know, conviction? Who's just, you know, questioning? Any name of the Ka'amar Nizik Bari, the Ka'amar Malik Shema. Okay, so maybe it's the Nizik who's speaking with Bari. It was the Mu'ad that attacked the animal. And the Mazik is responding, well, I'm not sure. What does the mission say? He at least gets the amount that, you know, which would come to him if the attacker was a Tam. What do you mean? But the Nizik claimed it wasn't a Tam. He conceded it wasn't a Tam. He said it's Shema with absoluteness. So once again, it's the same Kasha on Rabbi Bar Avuna, who says that it's tantamount to a concession. Akati Lema. Still, it's going to be a Kasha. You have a Jufta to Rabbi Bar Nasi. So this doesn't work. Elos, you got to switch it around. The Kamer Nizik Shema, the Kamer Mazik Bari. Reuben, the attacker, the owner of the attacking animal, is claiming with certainty, it was the Tam that attacked you, only 50%. And the Nizik is saying, look, I'm not sure, maybe it was the Tam, maybe it was the Mu'ad. Now it makes sense that he gets at least as much as Reuben wants to offer him, because he doesn't know, he's not stating anything with absoluteness and conviction. Okay, so we've proven that apparently, in this case, in the middle case of the Mishnah, we're calling it the Sefer here, relative to the Reisha. They're not on equal turf. They're not on equal plane. They're not Bari Bari. There's a Bari on account of Reuben and a Shema on account of Shimon. With the Sefer, Nizik, Shema, Mazik, Bari. So once this case has been established as speaking where the Nizik is a Shema and the Mazik is a Bari, so let's assume that the Reisha as well is sort of on the same track, well, same circumstance, Reisha Nami. The Reisha again is speaking where there was some sort of chase going on, and then the fellow being chased was injured, and there's a shaila to what happened. He says, your animal attacked me. He says, no, you just tripped on the stone, right? So Reisha Nami Nizak Shema, the victim is just, you know, suggesting Umazak Bari, the Mazak speaking with conviction that it never happened, it wasn't my animal. And what does the mission say? You can't extract money without proving anything, right? And the Gemara told us earlier, it's not so simple. It's subject to dispute. This is the Shitas Rabban, who say, but Sumchas disagrees. So you mean to say Sumchas, even in this type of case, would insist that we split the money? The Yisroch Lashmin and the Loi, which necessitated the Mishnah pointing it out, meaning the whole point of the Mishnah was to sort of disagree with Sumchas. No, it's not like Sumchas. You don't say like Moitz Machavel Raya. You mean to say Sumchas applies Yachleiku even when it's Mazik saying Bari and the Nizik's not sure? Which is a bit surprising, right? Says the Gemara, no, you're right. In this type of case, even Sumchas would agree that you don't have to pay a red cent. Loi, say for Nizik Shema or Mazik Bari. You're right, the middle case, the Mishnah speaking, where there's a Shema versus a Bari, but the Reisha, Nizik Bari or Mazik Shema. The Reisha is speaking, where the Nizik is saying, look, I know for a fact your animal attacked me. And the Mazik's not sure. So in this type of case, where the Nizik is absolute, is positive that he's deserving of this pain. Sumcha says Yachleiku. And on this, the Chacham say, no, you should know we don't say Yachleiku, we say Amoitz Mechavel Varaya. Says the Gemara, but then the cases in the Mishnah are dissimilar. Right? The first case is speaking with the Mazik's not sure and the Nizik is Bari. The next case is speaking where the Mazik is Bari and the Nizik is Shem, as we explained before, as we've proven before, right? So Leidami Reish Lesefa, the Reish Lesefa are not similar, which was really our problem to begin with. Remember we had said that the Reish is Bari and Bari, but it doesn't fit with the Sefa, which is not Bari, and we got into the whole confusion. We had to sort of tweak the Mishnah that was speaking about a Bari B'Shema. Well, it's still not similar because the Reish is one type of Bari B'Shema. The Mazik is Shema, the Nizik is Bari, and the next case is the other way around. Says the Gemara of Leidami Reish Lesefa.
the Rishon and the Seva are not similar. Well, it's close enough. One is a Barik, one is a Shema. Whether it's this way, whether it's that way, it's similar enough. Amri, so the answer is Bari v'Shema, Shema or Bari, whether it's a Bari v'Shema or he's a Shema and he's a Bari, it's all one and the same idea. It's an unequal balance, that's all. Chad Milsi. So therefore, it can work well in the Mishnah. It's consistent, it's on the same track. But Bari or Bari, Shema or Bari, Trei Milininu. To suggest that one part of the Mishnah is discussing Bari and Bari, which is one sort of, you know, creature, and then we go on to Shema Bari, it's totally different circumstance, which is unlikely. The Mishnah is discussing, you know, going from one case to the other without explaining. Okay, bottom line, in certain cases, Suncha says Yachleku, and all those cases, Chacham say Yamaitzim Achavel Arai, you have to prove your case. Okay, let's go back to Amar Rav Arnasan. Tomei Chitin Voidle V'Seirim Potter. I asked you for chitim, you admitted tzairim, you pot. My kamash, what's the point of rabba? It's a mishnah. Tanina. Tanoi chitim, right? I demanded the chitim back. Voidle v'sairim, he responds, well, here's your tzairim, pot. You doesn't have to pay the tzairim because I was meichelit. Once I, you know, ask for one thing, I'm admitting, I'm conceding that there's nothing else. Says the ma'ima asma v'amina. Well, if only from that mishnah, I would say, potter midnoi chitim v'chayb mei tzairim. When it says pot, it just means he doesn't have to give me the wheat because I can't prove my case, but he has to give me the barley, which he's conceding to. That's what I would think. Mashmalon, now comes Rabban and says, no, the pot of the gamri is totally exempt. But now we have a kash from the Mishnah, from the third part of the Mishnah, Tanan. We have two animals on the receiving end of this attack. Echad gadol v'echad katan, a larger one, a small one. Which one did it? You have to prove your case. What happens if you don't prove your case? You can't prove your case. So at least he'll get what the owner of the attacking animals is conceding, right? Why? Why does he get anything? He really gave that up. He insisted on getting something else. Apparently he admitted that it was either that or nothing. It's like the chitim aser. You're right, the roi little. He's deserving to get if he can prove his case. But he can't, because unless he proves his case, he doesn't get it. So you're right. He has to bring a raya, he has to have edim, video footage, whatever. Vatanya. But the Bryce explains, Harei zeh mishtalem al hakatan, min hagadol, hagadol min hakatan. That what does he get paid after this whole, you know, argument? He'll get a smaller amount. He'll get as much as the mazik is allowing him to get, admitting an offering. Mishtalem al hakatan, min hagadol. So, again, there were two animals on the attacking end and two animals on the receiving end of the attack. We have a large and a small one on each side. So the nizak, the victim, is saying, look, the large one hit my large one, the small one hit my small one. So he doesn't get that. He'll just get ala katan as compensation for the injuries applied to his small animal, which is a relatively smaller payout. He'll get a minagol from the large, expensive, you know, attacker. Ula gadol min hakatan. And regarding the large scale, you know, payout that he's expecting as a result of the injury to his large animal, he'll only get that from the small animal, meaning it'll be capped by the value of the cotton. So basically means to say that he gets what the mazik offers him. Why? He gave it up already. The toughest. We're speaking that he grabbed it. Oh, interesting. He grabbed something from the mazik, the money, whatever. So since this whole thing, this idea that he's conceding, that he's admitting, is, you know, it's not an absolute, it's not 100% substantiated. We're assuming so, we're understanding so, but ultimately, if he grabs something as payment, he can keep it. That's the halacha. Tanan. Okay, here comes another kasha from the other part of the Mishnah. Right? It's basically the same thing, word for word, but it's just on the other case with the tam and the mu'ad instead of the gadol and the katan. So he's expecting more and he's all offering less. Echatam v'chat mu'ad. Right? We have two attackers, one is a tam and a mu'ad. And we have two animals that were attacked, one large, one small. Hanizak Omer. So Shimon claims mu'ad, he was the hizak as a gadol. I want more now. But tam was mazak as a katan. But mazak Omer, the other way around. Like, you know, el tam as a gadol, mu'ad as a katan. Halach is a mu'ad, mechaber al v'ray. Hol em ma'isir ray, a shakal, klamer mazak. Again, same idea. So apparently, if he can't prove his case, he gets at least what he's being offered by the mazak. But my, why? He already gave that up. He conceded that he's not deserving of that. But my, chitim se'er nimu. It's the same story of chitim se'erim.
So the Gemara, same idea. Roy Luta Ve'en Lo, he should be getting it if he can prove his case, but unless he brings it right, he doesn't get anything. Va'atani, we have a brayso which says he does get. Harizim Mishtal Makatan Namud. The injury is applied to his small animal, the lesser amount he gets from the Mu'ud, 100% of that. Ulgadl, and the greater injuries, the greater loss incurred by his large animal, he only gets minatam, which is only 50%, basically as the mazik is offering. She sees getting something. The tafas, once again, was speaking that he grabbed hold of some sort of item or something of the mazik, and he can keep it to address his claim. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. We had one Mishnah, which gave us a list of cases where a person is liable for things that he does, but if his animal does the same thing, he's potter. The other way around, things that the animal does is chayiv, he himself does is potter. Rabbi Yechon says, Mavir and chayvel is potter unless there's some positive constructive element embedded within. We thought we had a kasha for the Mishnah, we had two turitzim on the Mishnah. Then came the next Mishnah with several examples of confusion in terms of the circumstances of this alleged attack. We have Hamaitzim Mechalev Araya, which is in disagreement with Sumchus, who says, "Maman amutal b'safek cholkim." We conclude with the halacha of Tanu chitin v'adlu b'serim is potter. We told we had some kashan in the Mishnah, which we both answer. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabbah.